Hi, everybody. I'm Susanna Mars, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I have an embarrassment of riches here sitting with me, the Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, who are led by Roberta Jackson and Deborah Burgess, and I also have one of the members of the choir, Maya Shaw, here with me. And we have been talking, doing a sound check. Oh, actually, I do have to bring this up. We sound really terrific right now, and that is because we've started recording at Dead Aunt Thelma's studio, and Mike Moore is our engineer, and I couldn't be happier about it. It's just incredible to listen to these podcasts with these incredible audio engineer behind us. So thank you, Mike. Now back on to who we are with today, and that is the Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, an incredible choir, which I knew very, very little about. You can check them out on girlchoir.com, which you will want to do after you hear them talk about what they're doing. They have an incredible organization with some really incredible young women, and through music, they're empowering them, and I'm going to let them talk about it. Roberta also handed me a wonderful book she and Deborah are a part of that is geared toward conductors of choirs, and tell us about why your participation in this book is so unique. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, we were honored to be asked to be part of this project. It's a two-volume set about sharing expert philosophies of children's choir conductors, and it's remarkable because it documents the many of the founders of children's choirs, including Doreen Rao and Jean Ashworth Bartle from the Toronto Children's Chorus, and some of the leaders in the field. And I think it's a great book because it really shows how this movement has begun. In the beginning, you know, children were considered, aren't they cute when they performed? Mm-hmm. But these leaders showed so much more, that children can be young artists, and they are young artists. And given the opportunity and setting the expectation, that's what happens.
Well, it was interesting earlier, we were talking about integrity and how you encourage young people to be a part of an organization like this. And I just loved how you were talking, Maya, about what it means to be a part of the group. How has it been for you? You've been a member for 5 years?
Yes, this is my fifth year being a part of Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, and it really has changed me, and it's grown with me, and I've grown as a part of this choir. I came into the choir as this anxious little 10-year-old, I think, and I'm 14, I guess it's 4 years then, and I'm 14 now, and confident in myself, and I have self-assurance, and I have this amazing community to fall back on when I need support and within the girl choir.
So I remember back in high school being a part of the choir, and I used to love going to my seat and warming up. Mm-hmm. And so is that how what's a regular rehearsal like for you?
Going into a rehearsal is pretty mellow. We see our friends that we haven't seen in a week, and we say, oh yeah, it's Emma is here, and then we breathe. That's one of the most amazing parts of the rehearsal, is the initiation into it is just a simple breathing ritual. No controlled breathing, just kind of zen mode.
Being together with the breath. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, and it's really important. Deb tells us to be self-absorbed in that moment, to think about how your day was.
An adult telling you it's cool to be self-absorbed.
And you breathe in energy if you're drained, and you breathe out energy if you're hyper, and then we all get ready to sing, and then we sing.
So now, which choir are you a part of? Because I noticed on the website that there are several groups, some of which are as young as 5 years old, all the way up to the age of 18. So which one are you a part of?
I'm a part of the Premier and Encore Choir. Mm-hmm. The Premier is the high school choir, and the Encore Choir is the extra high school choir.
Are you a part of the high school choir where you're attending school?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Now, that's something else we talked about that I thought was wonderful, is the fact that if your child is an athlete or has other extracurricular activities, that they can also participate in this choir. And describe to me, Deb, what you were talking about, because that to me is just beautiful.
We really believe that singing in a choir is important and wonderful for everyone who wants to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's not the only thing that our singers do. And we want them to be multifaceted, and we want them to be able to do the things they love to do. So if they love to run and they love to sing, we want that to work. So the bottom line for us is that we have our attendance policy is we want you there. Mm-hmm. If you have something that's really important to you as well and may collide sometimes, we work that out. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, I can come for this part of the rehearsal, or we have one rehearsal a week. We don't do two or three as others in our place do. We only have one rehearsal a week for each choir.
And which days are those?
On Mondays and Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. So our younger choirs are on Tuesdays and our older choirs are on Mondays. Mm-hmm. And we try to make it as possible as we can for each individual singer. Mm-hmm. So there may be singers who this is their thing and they don't want to do anything else. That's great. Mm-hmm. We love that. But there also may be singers who they have two things that they really love and they don't work out all the time. So we don't want them to have to say, well, I have to do this because I can't do that too. So we make our attendance policy, it's equitable because it's for everyone. If you have something you need worked out, we'll work it out with you. And that's our equity in it. We found that our singers really appreciate that trust, really want to be a part of that trust, and don't ever, I can't think of anyone ever abusing that policy, ever.
No, in fact, I think the girls are more committed because you entrust them with your belief that they're going to make the choices that they need to do and still honor their commitment to girl choir. So they're more committed to girl choir, not less. So it has turned out to be a really wonderful thing when we kind of started changing this, and meeting the needs of the girls is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your repertoire right now. Maya, what's your favorite, I don't want to use, but what's a song that really stands out for you?
I really like the song Happy Lands, composed by Bob Chilcott. And it's just a beautiful song. It's been a part of the repertoire for a few years now, and it really, I don't know, it's really beautiful.
I imagine that young women who leave the choir age out, right. You know.
Go on to college and then work field.
Yeah, and then they still know the music when they come back and hear song.
Yeah, you have your standards that kind of cycle in and out. Mm-hmm. And Happy Land, we had a chance to work with Bob Chilcott, who's one of the original King singers.
Oh.
And now he's composing, has been for the last 20 years. And mm-hmm. so we've been with him several times at a festival in New Orleans. And so that was where we first met the piece. And then it's one of those, you know, the girls will sing it every year if you let them, but we say, no, we do have to balance out.
Yeah.
So, but it's written in the gospel style. And so it's very, but I think, again, the text, he knows how to set a text so that it's really meaningful. And I think it gets in deep inside. And we do program a lot of music about empowering young women's voices and making our world a better place. Mm-hmm. And we had Jim Papoulis, we commissioned him to write a piece called I Will Find a Way, and a way to make a better place. Go ahead.
And, well, one of the things that was very special about that was the composer Jim Papoulis came to us. Mm. And it was actually an interesting visit because he was visiting because his daughter was going to Reed College. He's actually from Boston and New York. But so he came and he said, I want to talk to you about this, but I really want to talk to the girls. And it was our girls
I remember that.
Yes, who actually gave him the words and said, this is what we want. Mm-hmm. I will find a way. I will be the change I see in the world. I mean, they were the ones saying these words. So the song is extremely powerful because the words came from our singers.
How exciting for your singers to be a
wonderful
part of a creative process in that way.
And that is a very important part of our mission. We commission every year. Mm-hmm. We commission composers to write music for us and for the choral world so that we can have live performance is also a mission of ours, and we believe it's very important. So we have music being created so that live performance will continue.
Well, I loved what you were talking about earlier, and that is that live performance, a performance, quote, end quote, is not every opportunity when you're working with the choir is a performance, and you all rise up to the occasion.
Yeah. One of the things Deb says is you practice the way you perform, and
right.
Roberta says that too. And I really think that is true. It's such a amazing opportunity because you never know who's, like Deb said, walking through the hall and will hear the song and think about it and it'll change their day or their mm-hmm. week. And it's the practice is such an important part.
I think it's the process of rehearsal. So mm-hmm. it's not the end result. Yes, concerts are wonderful, but the end result is really the result of of every time we come together and making that music and seeing it. It's magical seeing what happens from week to week. And then that like a couple or 3 weeks or 4 weeks in, when all of a sudden a section will just gel and everybody just, you know, there's that energy in the room. You're going, oh my gosh, isn't this fabulous?
It's a team sport.
It is. It truly
really is. It's so exciting. Now you have some concerts coming up. I see one on Sunday, November 19th, that's called Sip and Tea and Sing Along, which I know you said is really a kind of a casual event, but it just sounded so delightful, I wanted to bring it up.
It's very fun. We have an alum family that has a historic house in Oregon City. So we go, and our Monday pianist, Rodney Mann, who's just amazing, comes and plays, and we have song sheets, and Deb and I lead the sing-along, and everybody gets to sing along.
Well, sometimes we lead it. Actually, the girls lead it a lot.
Well, yeah, they
want to sing this one song, and we sing any kind of song that anybody wants to sing. And
you know, your Disney favorite, or, you know,
folk songs,
musical theater, folk songs.
I don't know why I haven't thought about this before, but, you know, Artist Repertory Theater, we have Moncris Hubbard does a late-night piano bar, and we're having it this month, and we should invite you guys to come and do a sing-along.
It'd be fun. It'd be very fun.
Really fun.
And you know, it's fun. What also is fun about this is it's for all ages, and and so the dads and the grandpas and the moms and the grandmas and the girls. So it's a total community event, and it's just very fun.
And it's open to the public.
It's open to the public. They can just go on our website and. And
I'm thinking I want to come with my daughter.
That
sounds
fun.
Like fun. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. And then you have a Jingle Bear concert on Saturday, December 2nd at 3:00 at the Zion Lutheran Church,
which is our performance venue. And that is a concert that's a family concert. Mm-hmm. So we encourage all ages of people to come and sing with us.
Oh, so how many choirs participate? All of them in that one?
No, everybody. Not our premier choir, that's our high school age, but the encore singers come. Mm-hmm. And then, but it showcases our prelude singers, which is kindergarten, first grade, and the debut choir, which is second, third, and fourth mostly, and then intermezzo, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And
some of my happiest moments, I think, have been watching my children and also my nieces and nephews participate in choirs, because watching little tiny people sing is not only delightful and beautiful from a musical point of view, but hilarious.
Yes.
It's really some of the funniest. I remember laughing so hard I was crying.
Well, and you know, and then they're so sincere and so intent on doing a good job.
Yes.
And it's just very, very fun. And then that's the concert where the girls all bring a brand new teddy bear, and then we donate it to the Randall Children's Hospital. Oh. So the whole front of the stage is decorated with the teddy bears.
How wonderful.
And it was hilarious. Somebody, one of the little kindergartners, says, I'm bringing a polar bear this time. So I have no idea. I'm sure it'll fill half the stage. But okay, honey.
We're okay. We're good with it.
And then after that, you have Breakfast with the Stars.
Well, I want to go back and talk about December 16th. That's our holiday concert.
Yes.
And that one's going to be unique because we're going to collaborate with the Portland Youth Ballet.
I see that.
So we've done a number of performances with them. So
it's just very exciting. Their mission is the same as ours. They believe in empowering young dancers to do the same thing that we believe in, empowering young singers. Mm-hmm. And they are loving, and their process is very important as well. So we love being with them because we have the same. And it's nice for our singers to see other people who are as dedicated to their craft as they are to their craft.
How does that collaboration work? Are you singing while they're dancing?
We're doing two things from Songs of Sanctuary by Carl Jenkins, the Kayama and Cantus Inequalis. So those are very elegant. You know, it'll be very well. Cantus Inequalis is more elegant than Kayama's, very dramatic, but it'll be so fun to see that music exhibited through movement.
Oh, yes.
And so those two will be very different. And then we're collaborating. We just did a concert with Portland Columbia Symphony with a medley from The Seussical, the musical. Oh. So we're reprising that again and doing it with dance. And we've done other wonderful things with Chris Tabor, the artistic director, one of the artistic directors for Portland Youth Ballet. So I can hardly wait to see what he's come up with. And then that will allow their younger dancers to be part. So he does a really good job of kind of matching the music to the age of their dancers, just like we do to the age of our singers. So I think that will really be a fun adventure.
And that was a good segue, Roberta, because I wanted to say, one of the things that's very important to us in Girl Choir is that we do not have a top choir. We do not have a choir that's better than another choir. We don't believe in that, and we don't espouse that. So our choir system is a 5-choir system based on age and vocal development, and people, you just move forward as you get older. But the whole Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, we are the girl choir. Mm-hmm. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. And all of us are together. And I think Maya would really be able to talk about that because she has helped to, she bridges a couple gaps in girl choir that I think
and
would
she
be
comes
great.
On Tuesday well, and volunteers what, with our younger choirs.
Yes. Oh. So I've got Monday rehearsals and then a lot of Tuesdays I come and volunteer with the younger choirs because they're just so adorable and I love music and girl choir really is my happy place. And so I help them out. I when their binders fall apart, I put them back together.
Which is often.
It is very often. When they are struggling with a song, I help them out. I sing their part for them. And they're really lovely. And it's really amazing to see the young artist in them.
What you're talking about, I think, is partially what we were talking about earlier, and that is this full-bodied integrity in the experience of the girl choir. Mm-hmm. So obviously you love it, and you're just being able to participate Definitely. At a really deep level, plus that integrity you bring to the helping with the young people and mm-hmm. bringing your love of music to people, that's world-changing. Yeah.
I remember being their age, being young and in girl choir, and they had the older girls come in, like one or two of them would come in and help out, and I always worshipped them. I thought they were the coolest people.
Right.
And I just thought they were so awesome and smart and cool, and I wanted to be just like them when I grew up, and I guess now I am.
So are you hoping for a music career as you go on into
your... I think so. I really want to study music more, study music further. I think I'm going to start out with taking some more music classes. Mm-hmm. There's a music theory class at my school that I can take in a few years. And maybe I'll study music in college too.
That's wonderful. I can see just as you're talking about working with the choirs, both of you directors, just the love of what you're doing. And also the hope I think I feel even in listening to you describe what you're doing for young women mm-hmm. must really be transformative in your own lives.
It's very rewarding. It's a big responsibility to realize that you have impact on young women, girls and young women. And it's wonderful to hear when we always have a senior speaker, you're leading into Breakfast with the Stars, which is one of our big fundraisers in February. Mm-hmm. But we always have a debut singer's talk. So one of the young girls talks about for a few minutes about what girl choir means to her. And then the senior speaker, who's usually been in girl choir for quite a while, and then an alum. And I think, it's humbling to hear what they feel their experiences have been in girl choir. And absolutely, this is what we hope, mm-hmm. is that they'll have a place. Girl choir is a safe place for girls and young women. And then they take that, and that does empower them to go, I think, out into the world and be stronger women and be able to advocate for themselves and do all those things. You know, go ahead, Deb. You're right on.
I'm hanging on every word because that is very, very true. And that is what we want Girl Choir to be, a safe space, a place to be who you are. And we are careful now because we aren't going to just identify girls and young women. So I wanted to just say something about being inclusive, being careful with even the pronouns that people are choosing to use, which is important to us. Mm-hmm. So we're learning and we're changing and we're growing, and that is true of our organization as well. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most important things is that I learned from Roberta working with her was that she always wants to collaborate. She is the artistic director and she is the founding artistic director of this amazing organization, but you will never hear that from her because she's about collaborating. And she brought me in and she was like, we're going to do this together. And I was, oh, this is perfect. I mean, this is exactly what I want for my own daughters who both sang in girl choir, but also for all of these wonderful young women. And that's what we perpetuate, is that culture of women need to help one another, need to work with one another, need to be with one another, need to transcend all boundaries and all labels and be who we are as people. And that's a very important thing to us and something that we hope we model every single day that we're in girl choir together with the singers.
Well, again, that's world-changing, and especially in these last few weeks, women binding together to help each other through challenging times and to change the world for the better.
Yes.
It's very exciting. It can get you me down, some of these things that have happened. But that said, you know, it's these types of events that help us move into a better place.
Exactly. And I do think music as your vehicle is so powerful because, you know, that gets in your soul and you can impact other people. So Girl Choir's concerts have become, I think, over time, less about the, you know, the standard repertoire. We've moved, there's a lot about presenting uplifting, encouraging, empowering music. I really think we've gone, and with the commissions, I think we've done 37.
That's incredible.
Commissions of new works, and we bring the composers to work with the girls. So, but I think all of this, so that when you come to a girl choir concert, it's not just, it's not typical. You know, I think you're always in for a surprise or, you know, and hopefully you'll leave more inspired and feel better than when you came.
Yeah, I'm absolutely so excited to come see a choir concert. I'm really excited about it.
Well, we look forward to having you there.
Yeah, thank you. I'm curious, how do you end your rehearsals? I'm assuming, you know, you have...
Our rehearsals are built on each other, so our little teeny tinies, that's what I call them, they come first, and so we actually overlap our rehearsals. So our littlest ones have rehearsal by themselves for 15 or 20 minutes, and then our next older girls, which would be like second through fifth grade, they come in and they sing for 15 minutes with the little teeny tinies.
Oh.
Then they leave, then the little teeny tinies leave, but then intermezzo, who's our middle school, basically middle school, that age of girl, or come, and then they sing with debut for 15 or so minutes, then they leave. So our leaving is like a big circle of people that are coming and going, so that everyone understands we are the girl choir.
Right,
Maya?
That whole getting back to what Deb, you know.
Yes, we're very together. We're not exactly, which is what
it's
you
not,
said.
This, the only choir that matters is your oldest choir. So
or it's not
this
even that. Really, it's just we're all together. Like we. And
well,
we
they
sing
get that every
way.
Week rather than just coming to a rehearsal where you sing, there's, you know, the big collaborative finale song together.
Mm-hmm.
We interweave all the different
songs. Our girls sing with each other.
So in the holiday concert, all ages will sing. The girl choir sings, which is everybody.
And, yes, and we will also, I mean, every choir kind of gets their couple of solo songs, and sometimes we'll combine, like encore and debut, we'll sing something that they maybe have performed together.
And intermezzo and debut.
Yeah, we do the different age groups.
Premiere and intermezzo. And
there always are three or four songs that the whole girl choir sings together.
Oh. Yeah. That's great. I just imagine those little young people that you're working with, just the thrill of, as you said, someone to look up to and to hear themselves singing with the big sound.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I never really thought about that, but the idea of those smaller people having access to a big sound. I bet that's really cool.
Yeah, and learning from each other and being part of something bigger than themselves. Well, that's what the whole thing is about.
Yeah,
right. Definitely. It's interesting because it's not only numbers of people, but just the actual audio that to be able to make
be part of something so wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was, as you were talking about us and the sound and where we go, one of the things that Girl Choir also has as a mission is touring. We tour every other year, and Maya just toured with us this summer. We went to the UK and Northern Ireland and Scotland, Ireland.
Amazing experience.
Yeah, and we do that. So, and one of our tags is Girl Choir, or Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, shining everywhere. Mm. I mean, that's what we want. We want to spread that beautiful thing. And so our oldest girls go internationally and our middle girls go nationally. So we went to New Orleans with them and that was an amazing experience. We sang with 400, that's what I thought of. We sang with 400 other singers in New Orleans in the St. Louis Cathedral, which was an amazing, absolutely amazing festival that our dear friend Cheryl DuPont, who is the New Orleans Children's Chorus director and the director of that festival. So we were a part of that and it was just spine tingling, and then singing abroad with our older singers is such an exciting thing. And that's an important thing too, because it's a different kind of thing. We're going and we're spreading this very inspiring thing, this music that people just stop and listen to and go, whoa, what are they saying? Wow. And that's important
to us. I like our tour, the person from our tour company who we've traveled with for probably 15 years, she happened to be able to come to our concert at St. Giles Cathedral. And one of the things she said, it's very interesting. Your repertoire is very different from the standard repertoire. So the audience is just kind of going, wow. You know, I mean, it really catches them in a different place. And I think, again, that whole sense of providing music that speaks to people, I think is critical. And we've gotten wonderful reactions from our audiences abroad.
Interesting. Do you think that's a phenomenon in the United States of young women or of choir singing repertoire that is in that vein? Or is it kind of a unique individual choir choice?
It might be.
Definitely. I think it's a unique individual choir choice. There are choirs that have like that kind of theme or mission. That's not necessarily, our repertoire is extremely eclectic. It's one of the things that we're known for is programming many different kinds of music. But depending on what's happening around us, there may be times in our life sphere that it feels more important to bring some of those things to light. Mm-hmm. And so we will do that. And we have been doing that.
I'm assuming you probably sing in foreign languages as well.
Oh yeah. From the time they're little.
All the time.
That's just, I figured. And
I was singing Latin in fifth grade.
Oh my goodness. That's fantastic.
I mean, second grade, actually.
The intellectual expansion that happens.
And
when
I think the kids love that.
Well, the cool thing about like little teeny tinies and tinies are that to them it's like, oh, this isn't hard, this is a cinch. It's much easier to teach them than adults, actually.
right
languages,
so
they absorb it more.
You enjoy that?
Yes, definitely. We've sang in Latin and Spanish and Italian, Hebrew. Even Arabic, we had one song.
My goodness.
And it's just an amazing experience to get these different messages in these different songs that all culturally are different but they all have that unique aspect to them of the language, and you convey your message of the song through your emotion as you sing and as how you sing and your facial expression and your body language when you sing. And that's the key thing with the foreign language songs.
So in your spare time when you're not singing with the choir, what kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, I listen to all kind of music. I enjoy pop, and I mean, but then there's also, I really like jazz and R&B. And
who do you sing along with the loudest?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, if I'm being honest.
I love it.
Probably.
I just love Shake It Off. I've always have.
Definitely.
You know, that I just dig that song. Mm-hmm. Comes on the car, I'm dancing.
Yeah.
Right. I just can't thank you enough for coming to talk to me about this incredible choir. I would just encourage everybody who's listening to check it out at girlchoir.com. And Roberta, Deborah, and Maya, I appreciate your taking time.
Thank you so much.
It's been our pleasure.
It's been a joy.
Thank you. Definitely. Keep singing, everybody.
We will.
There's no stopping us now.
Why do we sound so good? Because we're at Dead Aunt Thelma's studio and Mike Moore is engineering for us. Thanks, Dead Aunt Thelma's. Thanks, Mike.